Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Hi, you are listening to Caring for Aging Parents. This is our third month. We are very excited today because we have Brandy Hackett, a certified aging life care manager with Senior Care Options, and Andrew Seaver, an occupational therapist with Enable Home Solutions. We are talking about some important topics today. One is a huge buzzword in the aging community, which is aging in place. People having a desire to live at home rather than going to a senior community or assisted living or nursing home. And also, I get a lot of calls from caregivers that need a lot of assistance just navigating the resources out there. They have somewhat of a complicated situation. They have a lot of questions. Perhaps they need family therapy regarding their loved one. And so I wanted to bring Brandy and Andrew together because Andrew provides an excellent service to help people age in their home. And Brandy provides an encompassing resource at Senior Care Options and probably will even recommend Andrew to some of her clients. So welcome, Andrew and Brandy.
Thank you so much for having us.
Absolutely. Brandy, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, as you mentioned, I am a certified what's now called aging life care manager. That was formerly called a geriatric care manager, so that might be the term that people are more familiar with. I have been working with Senior Care Options for about 3 years now. I have a pretty diverse background in the fields of oncology, hospice, skilled nursing. I even worked for a stint in a funeral home. So I've done a variety of things, and I'm actually on a team with Senior Care Options. We have goodness, probably about six or seven of us now. We have a very rapidly growing team, and the people on the team consist of backgrounds of nursing, aging services, gerontology. Actually, the owner is a recreation therapist, so we have a nice variety of skill set on the team.
And Andrew, one of the things that I like about your brochure is it says, change your home, not your address. I really like that. Tell us a little bit about your background.
Well, I'm an occupational therapist. I worked in a local senior-focused hospital for about 15 years. Decided to go work with folks in their own environment, seeing how when you're in the hospital, unfortunately, it's in crisis mode and you're simulating things. And it's the meat of what the people really need is in their home. And that's the best place to find it. And there was no one out there, it seemed, who represented the families in providing recommendations for how they can remain at home. It seemed like everybody was either building something or they were trying to sell something, but there wasn't anybody to represent the families. And so I just saw that critical need and started my business in 2012. And I work with people of all ages, predominantly seniors, some people who want to stay at home, some people who are moving mom and dad into their homes and don't know if their homes are appropriate for them, all the way down to pediatric. Some children who are special needs children and their parents can't carry them anymore and they're teenagers now. So I get those folks too. So it's all a whole spectrum of folks that I work with.
And the one thing that I was impressed with you a couple of months ago when I met you is that you actually have that insider's perspective into the needs from the medical aspect of things, what the individual needs in terms of their body, coupled with what you provide in the home, the analysis and assessment.
Yes, unfortunately, most people don't call until they've had a fall or they've been hospitalized. But most folks, you know, depending on what they're going through, what issues they're dealing with, whether they have Parkinson's or they have ALS or dementia or whatever it may be, the important thing that I work with them and help them realize is that they need a plan for the future. You know, if you're on a limited income and you only have X amount of dollars, you don't want to spend all that money so that now your bathroom is walker accessible if in 2 years you're going to be in a wheelchair and you have to do it all over again. So that's the key, to having people look to the future and trying to understand what their needs will be at that time.
And Brandy, you, just as Andrew said, people have a lot of needs. And over at Senior Care Options, you discuss a lot of needs that families have in terms of an aging adult or even an aging adult themselves. Share a little bit about some of the services that you provide.
I would say most families come to us, like Andrew said, a lot of them in crisis. There's been a change and they need to start rallying around that loved one for a variety of reasons. And so just like Andrew looks at different modifications and different ways to keep people, we like to say at the safest level they can be. That may be home, but it might also require a change in their environment depending on what's going on. Our job is to go in and, you know, we actually call our initial assessment a needs analysis because we're looking at everything, psychosocial, medical, both past, current, and future. We're looking at safety. We're looking at spiritual. We're looking at how the family dynamic works, what support systems are there, what financial resources are there, what legal things are in place. We even look at end-of-life planning because there's what we find is sometimes we're the very first medical professional that takes a look at it all and puts it all on the table. And I tell people, I tend to say if it's a female, I'll say closet. If it's a man, I say garage. But it's like cleaning out either or and then putting it back in nicely.
Mm-hmm.
And the families that come to us are in such a panic and they feel like there needs to be 1,000 things decided upon, but they don't even know where to point their feet. So our job is to go in and say, okay,
mm-hmm.
we've got this, but let's look at everything first before we jump to solutions. So similar to what Andrew does, you know, sort of lays it all out there and then decides, you know, with all the facts, not people's opinions, not what they think they need, but the true facts.
Right.
You know, what are we looking at? Not only for short term, but also for that long view.
Mm-hmm. And the wonderful thing is that when caregivers and families are in the middle of it, they don't have that objective view because there's all those emotions with their families. There's all those emotions tied up and it's my parent and even an aging adult with stress. And looking at some of the material is that you guys help alleviate that stress. You are that third party that takes that objective perspective and helps them through that process.
Definitely. I think, you know, the sad part is, and, you know, all of us also have aging parents ourselves. And so I get it as a daughter.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, when we can go into a family situation, sometimes it's almost funny what they're willing to disclose to us that the daughter's like, I've been asking for years and they're giving you their whole budget. They're giving you this. And so I feel like, you know, having that person that can take that step back, we don't have 40 years worth of baggage.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and often situations I've dealt with quite a few recently, there's been a history of abuse.
Yeah.
There's been a history of really horrible relationships. And so we often have children that really want to be supportive, but can't feel that they can be.
Right.
So to have that objective point person to say, I love my parent, but I don't like them is the quote mm-hmm. I heard the other day. You know, but to have that third party can be really helpful in, I like to call them the kumbaya situation. So mm-hmm. the happy, everyone's holding hands situations, but also in those that are really difficult.
And that complex relationship, which could be a whole other show unto itself, but if you did have a parent growing up who was verbally abusive or different forms of abuse, physical, sexual, and then later on, you're in a situation that's almost not a choice if you choose mm-hmm. to, it not to be a choice. How am I supposed to reciprocate that caregiving relationship when that parent didn't take care of me? Yeah. So the important aspect of seeing a therapist or even you guys provide counseling to go through some of those issues to see what would work for you. Andrew, what are some of the common issues that you're seeing when you go into a home, some of the common things that are wanting to be done?
Mostly the focus is in the bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing soft in a bathroom. So if you fall, chances are you're going to get hurt. There are a lot of products out there that can help of all different price values. And that's the biggest thing to keep in mind when I talk to my folks, besides looking to the future and see what they're going to need down the road. Hopefully it's they contact me before they start guessing and assuming what they need, because there are products out there that are extremely expensive.
Mm-hmm.
Like I tell in my talks, everything was invented for a reason. Every product was invented for a reason and is hanging around because there's somebody out there that's buying it. And so it's appropriate. I'm sure they're appropriate for someone, but that does not mean it's appropriate for everyone. So for someone, for instance, with a walk-in tub, that realizes that they have to get in before they can turn the water on, which you'd be surprised in my talks, about 20% of the people don't even realize they have to get in first
mm-hmm.
and then let it drain before you can get out. For those people that understand that it's going to take time to go through the process of using the walk-in tub and you got to wait for it to fill up and all those things, but they need to soak their joints, they've got arthritis, they understand the limitations, that's fine. That's great. I highly recommend it. I've had two clients that were in their late 80s and 90s that spent $18,000 each on one, used it once, realized they couldn't get in and out of it, couldn't clean it. Their water heater wasn't large enough to fill it. They couldn't take it back. So, you know, it's very important that hopefully they reach out when they need advice before they start guessing. Because before you know it, the $18,000 could have been used to redo the entire bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
So there's some very sad situations out there.
Visually, Brandy and I are both shaking our heads right now. We're in disbelief of this. Really quick, funny story. Do you have any help for my dad who one time practiced his golf swing in the shower and hurt himself? What would you recommend for that?
Well, I'm assuming he's got a pretty decent sized shower or a terrible golf swing.
It was not a decent sized shower. Anyways, you should have seen my mom's face when she came home and he had to explain why he was hurting and sitting in the chair. So, Andrew, can you walk us through a phone call that you might get, how that process works?
Sure. Somebody will call and whether they have a parent that they know does not want to leave their home, but they realize they're not functioning as well as they have been in the past. A lot of times they'll bring me in as the quote unquote expert or specialist that can go in and ask those questions that the family or the parents don't like answering to or telling the children. I get a lot of honey-do lists from the kids to convince parents to do certain things. Basically, when I go to somebody's home, it's, you know, show me around. Let's see what you can do. Since I'm a therapist, with the client there, I can have them practice different tasks with me. If we're talking about going to the bathroom, we walk into the bathroom. I have them have a seat on the commode. We walk into do a shower transfer, and they're comfortable knowing that I'm a therapist, and they open up, you know, a lot to different worries or concerns that they have. And I'm able to pick up on very small details if there's a quick loss of balance or if there's a visual issue. And we basically go room to room. When we get through, we sit down and go over everything we talked about. I write up a report and I'll send it to any of the adult children or whoever would like a copy. Basically give my recommendations room to room, options for low cost solutions all the way up to higher cost solutions, depending on what their budget is. I also provide a list of the products we discussed. I've had people say, thanks, and, you know, leave it at that. I've had other folks that say, you know what, I don't have enough time to do this. So can you go find out what I need, go buy it, find somebody to put it in, or just do it. I'm flexible in whatever the family needs, as much assistance as they want, I'm here to provide it.
And real quick, before we were talking before the show, is the invention that you were talking about that helps pull up the pants. Will you share that? Because that was kind of neat.
Yeah. Well, part of what I do is research products so that I can recommend solutions to folks that I'm working with. One I came across recently at a trade show, it's called Pants Up Easy. And they're going to love the fact that I just plugged them. It's a device that helps people with standing balance issues. It was invented for somebody who is paraplegic, who had difficulty pulling up his pants. And quick story, it was invented by a man in Palo Alto, California, whose friend was a paraplegic. When they watched football games, the friend would disappear for 20 minutes to use the bathroom, and they had to pause the game. And it really frustrated the other guys in the house, saying, hurry up, let's watch, we want to get back to the game. And so this guy invented this device to help people pull their pants up while they're sitting on their commode. And it's a device you can attach to the wall, or it's freestanding. It's remarkable that you can pull your pants up in 3 seconds rather than having to transfer back to your bed and worry about skin breakdown and all kinds of things. And so we'll be presenting that to the AOTA conference, American OT Association conference in Chicago in a couple of weeks. So it's just, I come across as different products that I think are really neat. They're niche products. It's not for everybody, but I just want to get the word out that things like that exist because there are some great solutions out there.
And the great thing about you being here today, as well as the services that you provide, is people just don't know that these things exist. And so having a show like this, I have a great forum to let the aging community know that there are so many resources out there that people just don't know about. Brandy, can you walk me through a typical case or a call that you might get? For example, at the association, Alzheimer's Association, I get a call for a family member who does have dementia, but then they have needs beyond in terms of like legal planning, or their family is at odds. Somebody has power of attorney and they want changes. And then they're saying the family dynamics, the whole family needs to sit down and talk. So would you be able to share with us what a typical, I know there's no typical, but just kind of a idea of what somebody coming to you, what it would entail.
Definitely. Well, I have the pleasure of doing intake for the entire company. So I am the voice on the other end of the phone when people call. So I do get families as they're in a panic. And so what we find is that we're normally contacted by the adult children or the adult caregivers. Very, very rarely, I would say I've probably had 10 calls in 3 years, is it the client themselves. So the children are realizing that there's been a shift or a change. It can be a lot of things. It can be falls. It can be a hospitalization. It could be went home for Christmas and realized that mom just wasn't the same. Had a couple cases where it involved senior scam or elder abuse. We had one case where a lady had actually had a caregiver from church, which is, it saddens my heart that this is the story, but had a caregiver from church that stole about $22,000 from her. Unfortunately, because we're privately hired, a lot of the clients that we work with are in that sort of too rich, quote unquote, to get a lot of the community-based services. They do have income, sometimes do have assets, which can make them a target. So when someone calls, it's my job, and really grateful to be one of the care managers because I'm able to really field it realistically.
Right.
So I'll talk to the family member, sort of try to calm them down. I mean, my whole first 10 minutes is just, tell me a little bit about what's going on. And so I let them tell me from their perspective, you know, what are the issues? And sometimes it's not appropriate for what we do. And as a social worker, my job is to field that and to make sure that they are placed with the right services. I think we had an intake call come in not too long ago that was appropriate for Andrew and not for us.
Right.
And so those kinds of things is my job to field. But for the ones that do come on service, we start with what we call a needs analysis. And that's a good, hard look at everything. And so when we go into someone's house, it's very important for us to develop rapport very quickly. Most of the situations have some level of difficulty. It might be a difficult family. It might be a difficult client. We probably, I would say about 90 to 95% of the people we work with have some type of dementia. We also deal with a lot of psychotic issues. We deal with a lot of substance abuse. So it's not always peachy when we walk in these situations. But, you know, our job is to be that client's advocate. And we tell families very quickly that you're calling, you might be hiring what we do, or you might be bringing us on board, but mom or dad or Aunt Mary or whomever is our client. And so the recommendations that we're going to be giving, the conversations we're going to be having, the plans we're going to discuss and putting into place are going to be focused on the best needs of that person. So sometimes there'll be disagreements on, you know, what the family thinks versus what we think, you know, and what we find is most families don't know what they don't know. And so, like you, like Andrew said, you know, they want to come up with a solution, and often sometimes a quick solution, because what they're dealing with is very difficult. To see a parent or a loved one age, to see them become more disabled, to lose relationships, especially through dementias where, you know, mom was this and now she's this. There's so much loss and so much grief that not only the care receivers are going through, but also the caregivers. And so making sure that it's as well managed as possible would be the purpose. So after our needs analysis, we sit back down with the family as a whole and say, you know, this is what we're seeing and all the pieces and parts. And then beyond that, we can stay involved. Like I've had a client now for over 2.5 years that I've worked with, and I've done everything from finding the golf channel on Comcast to, you know, being at bedside when she was hospitalized. And so we stay that advocate often because the family might be out of town or because the family's just not available, or the family chooses not to be in that role, or the family just needs support. We deal with a lot of only children who don't have that sibling. You know, you'll even see on our website, we're sort of that daughter for hire. And I like to add the asterisk of with medical experience, because people want someone to lean on. They want a hub that they can go to and say, what next? This has now happened. They don't want to feel alone. They don't want to feel lost. And unfortunately, I mean, I don't know if anyone's received healthcare lately, but it's a little muddy. You know, one hand's doing this and the foot's doing something else. And so it's really hard in the best of circumstances to manage everything that's going on. But in the worst of circumstances, which is what we're dealing with, it can be even harder. Typical, like you said, there's not a typical.
Right.
I think the purpose is to know your own boundary and to know what you're capable of doing. And not only that, but what you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for example, I know with my own dad, I don't want to do incontinence care.
Right.
That's my personal boundary. Will I in an emergency? Sure, of course. Not what I wish to do. But I know in the exchange of that, that I'm going to have to bring in services to do what I am not comfortable doing.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that that's what we try to help families develop and clients develop is what, where's that comfort level and what needs to be brought in or supplemented or changed to make sure that it's going down the right path.
Right. I remember when my grandmother was still around, she would call my dad just to come over to her house just to help her get the remote control working again. What are some of the, both Andrew and Brandy, what are some of the greatest challenges that you're seeing with the populations that you're working with?
Like Brandy said, is getting people to look for help or seek help in the beginning when they first start needing it, and sometimes before they need it at all. But like Brandy said, I've had probably 5% of my clients actually called me and were completely healthy and said, hey, I want to live in my house the rest of the life and we want to put it in an elevator, so tell me where to put it. It's usually somebody who's already in the hospital or, like I said earlier, already dealing with issues. So it's getting the word out that someone like Brandy and someone like myself exists. I'm not a builder. I'm not a home health therapist. I help families realize or understand what they need. And so often my clients, when I'm at the end of my assessment, they'll say, I had no idea you existed. How in the world? We had no idea where to start to find somebody like you. And so it's basically showing folks that even if you modify your homes, it doesn't need to look institutionalized either. Mm-hmm. That's what a lot of people worry about. You know, they see the bathrooms in the hospital and they say, oh my gosh, I don't want my bathroom to look like that. And we can't have the guest bathroom looking like that because then our neighbors will know something's wrong. And it's amazing. And there's products out there now that you can buy at building supply stores for $30, $40 that are beautiful grab bars that are designed to also hold the towel that you would never know it's a grab bar.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and once I show people pictures, they open up and they realize, you know, if you do it right, not only will it benefit you in the long run, but even resale value, you know, there's going to be such a need in the future for homes that are accessible. If you can make your home accessible in a way that is aesthetically pleasing also, trust me, you will get your money back easily when you resell. So it's basically educating people of what their options are, because like I said, most of them are in crisis mode and they have absolutely no idea where to start.
Mm-hmm. How about you, Brandy? What are some of the...
I mean, I was actually thinking the exact same thing. I mean, the thing is that we see a lot of is people are reactive, not proactive. I like to explain to caregivers when I can get them ahead of the curve is that most caregivers become caregivers when they give care. And most care starts in a lot of situations at the hospital bedside because of a fall, because of this. But if I really sit down with myself, I am my parent's caregiver. Now, they don't need my care yet, but what do I need to do in that interim? You know, I need to know what their Medicare pays for. I need to know what benefits they're eligible for. I need to know what assisted livings or hospices or home cares are in their area because they're in a different area of the state. Do we do that? No, we don't do it at all. And we do this professionally. And I'm sitting here going like, oh, my own parents. just because I feel like, you know, even those that do it all the time, we forget that we're all aging. We forget mm-hmm. that we're all going to need, you know, and instead of letting life slip up on us, trying to get ahead of that as much as we can. And, you know, I think if anything, my time at the funeral home really taught me that, you know, not all people that die are 85, but, you know, what can we do before that point? And there's a long time before then, but what can we do in the interim so that it's not chaos?
Right.
It doesn't have to be chaos. We can't take away a dementia diagnosis. We can't take away a Parkinson's diagnosis. There are unfortunate, horrible realities for families. What we can do and what we strive to do as a business, and I know Andrew would second this as well, is figure this out. Take a moment. Let's not only worry about what now, but what then. Because, you know, what's the harm in getting the death certificate information pulled together? Is that fun stuff to do on a Saturday? Absolutely not. But the fact is, why does that have to be chaotic? Why does a hospitalization have to be chaotic? Why does that have to be the time that you know that your mom's on lisinopril?
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, for caregivers, we say, you know, building that team ahead of time is so important. And part of that is just being reactive. building that team so that you know that if there's a diagnosis of Alzheimer's, you've got the association there. If we know there's a mobility issue, you've got this. If it's an elder issue, let's go ahead and get some of those things in place. Because the worst time to be making all the decisions that people are making are in the times that they're making them. Mm-hmm. You know, none of us would ever go buy a car after losing 3 nights worth of sleep, being in a panic, and be like, now seems like the appropriate time to make a huge car purchase. But that's right. What we do. It happens to just be healthcare and what assisted living and what walk-in tub and what, you know, everything else. And that's just unfortunate. I get it, because life happens and sneaks up on you, and all of a sudden people are old and aged and needy. But, you know, for us, what we try to encourage people, even those not on our services, is get it together. Get as much as you can together and know before you need to know, so that when you need to know, it's going to feel like less of a panic.
It's that proactive, you know, as a society, we're more reactive anyway. So it's a huge shift to start focusing on being proactive. And I had a call from a caregiver the other day who hadn't slept in several days and really basically just realized that she needed to place her dad who had Alzheimer's disease. So it was in that reactive moment. I haven't had sleep in several days. In my mind, I'm thinking, you know, I need to start seeking this woman some psychiatric treatment because she's on the verge of a psychotic mm-hmm. break, not having had any sleep, and she's still focused on somebody else's needs. Mm-hmm. So, Andrew, how can people get in touch with you?
They can go to my website. It's enablehomesolutions.com, or they can email me at andrew@enablehomesolutions.com, and I would be happy to talk to them. I'm always available and happy to answer any questions I can over the phone. And if it's something that needs my personal attention, I'd be happy to go visit them at their home.
Brandy, how can they get in touch with you?
Senior Care Options can, a lot of our information is on our website as well. So that is at www.seniorcareopt. So that's O-P as in Paul, T as in Tom.com. So short for options. They can also give us a call, and the number is 770-579-9177. Or, of course, they can email us at info@seniorcareop.com.
Wonderful. And I just want to thank both of you for coming on the show today, provided wonderful, valuable information. And really quick, just wanted to tell you about some upcoming events in the community. The Color Purple is going to be hitting Washington, D.C. We are headed as the Alzheimer's Association up to Washington, D.C., April 4th through 6th to advocate on behalf of families and individuals with the disease with your legislators up on Capitol Hill. Also, the Georgia Gerontological Society has their annual conference August 8th through 10th. However, if you're wanting to make a presentation, those submissions are due by April the 8th. On Thursday, April 14th, Nancy Kreisman, who was the very first guest on this show in January, she is going to be doing a mindful caregiver workshop and book signing at Mercer Atlanta. Last but not least, the Alzheimer's Association Georgia chapter has their Dancing Stars of Georgia at the Cobb Galleria on April the 30th. Just a closing thought. Oftentimes when I do presentations on counseling caregivers, the unique thing about aging is that not only are we making presentations to professionals, but we are also making presentations to the caregiver who is also the professional. So aging is impacting everybody. If you want to get in contact with me, my website is www.caringforagingparents.info, or you can email me. We are still looking for sponsors for this show. If you're interested, email me at jenny@caringforagingparents.info. And thank you for listening, and we will see you next month.